You're listening to ESL Podcast's English Cafe, number 143. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 143. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is ESLPOD.com. You can download this episode's learning guide, an 8 to 10 page guide we provide for all of our current episodes that gives you some additional help in improving your English. You can also take a look at our ESL podcast store, which has additional courses in business and daily English I think you may enjoy. On this cafe, we're going to talk about Harley Davidson motorcycles, what they are and why they are important to the culture of the United States, at least to part of our culture. We'll also continue our series on famous Americans. Today we'll be learning about the life and accomplishments of Jesse Jackson. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Our first topic today is Harley Davidson motorcycles, a somewhat unusual topic, I will admit, for our cafe, but I hope you will see that it is, in fact, an interesting part of American culture. The Harley Davidson company is based in the state of Wisconsin, which is in the upper Midwestern part of the United States, next to the state of Minnesota, north of the state of Illinois, and just east of the state of Michigan. Harley-Davidson Motor Company manufactures or makes very popular motorcycles in the U.S. The motorcycles are called Harley-Davidsons, or sometimes simply Harleys. Many people who own these motorcycles are very loyal to the Harley-Davidson brand, to the type of product that they produce. To be loyal, in this case, means to always use a particular product or always try to promote a particular product, to think good things about them. A brand, as I said, is really a name that a company puts on its products, in this case, Harley-Davidson. When I say that people are loyal to the Harley-Davidson brand, I mean that they will buy only Harleys when they want a motorcycle. Many of these people buy other Harley-Davidson products as well, such as T-shirts, stickers, and just about any other item that shows the Harley-Davidson logo. A logo, L-O-G-O, is a small image, sometimes with some writing on it, that identifies a company or organization. If you go on to the ESL podcast website in the top left corner, you will see the ESL Pod logo designed by our wonderful webmaster, Adriano Galeno. The Harley-Davidson logo is black, orange, and white. You can see these on jackets. You can see these on T-shirts. They're very popular among people who ride Harley-Davidson motorcycles. The Harley-Davidson company was founded more than 100 years ago in 1903. the company's motorcycles became very popular almost immediately. In 1917, the U.S. government bought more than 20,000 Harleys to use in World War I. Many of the soldiers and the other men who used the motorcycles during the war liked them so much that they bought their own Harleys when they came back to the United States. Very soon after, Harley-Davidson became the biggest manufacturer of motorcycles in the world. Then, unfortunately, came the Great Depression. That period of time from the late 20s and through the 1930s when the United States and really the world economy was very bad and there was very little extra money for people to buy things like motorcycles. For this reason, the company actually stopped making motorcycles, or at least stopped focusing on motorcycles. I believe they continued to make them, and instead made engines for factories. An engine is the part of a machine that provides the power or the energy. In your car, in an American car, your engine is usually in the front of the car. Well, the plan or strategy worked for Harley-Davidson. They were only one of two motorcycle manufacturers to stay in business during the Great Depression. And when World War II started, at least for the United States' involvement in World War II in 1941, the company made many more motorcycles for the U.S. government. Then it began selling motorcycles again to civilians, people who are not in the military, and it continues to do so today. So after the war, Harley-Davidson was successful again at selling motorcycles to the average person, not just to the government. Harley-Davidson Company's reputation, what people think of it, suffered or got worse when the company changed ownership. We sometimes say your reputation suffers. Normally, suffer is a verb we use to talk about human pain, but here it refers to a decline or decrease or worsening of your reputation. The Harley-Davidson Motor Company's reputation suffered when it was bought by another company that changed the way the motorcycles were made. The quality of the motorcycle got worse. It deteriorated. People began to use pejorative names for the motorcycle. Something that is pejorative, P-E-J-O-R-A-T-I-V-E, is very negative. The pejorative names for Harleys included hardly drivable, meaning you could almost not drive them, they were so bad, and Hogley Ferguson. I'm not sure why, Hogley Ferguson. But these were negative names, pejoratives that people used about the motorcycle because they thought the quality of the motorcycle declined. Some people continue to refer even today to Harley-Davidson motorcycles as hogs. Hog is another name for a large pig. It's not considered a pejorative term anymore, however, by people who like Harley-Davidsons. Another reason why Harleys began to have a negative reputation in the U.S. was because the motorcycles became associated with or thought to be connected with a particular motorcycle club called Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels is a motorcycle organization, a club for people with similar interests. The members say that they enjoy riding their motorcycles together. They typically organize long trips, parties, and other events. But many people, especially police officers, members of what we would call law enforcement agencies, basically the police, began to think that Hell's Angels was a violent gang. They were selling drugs and had done other bad things. So the motorcycle got a bad reputation because it was associated with this one particular group who were at times very violent in the late 60s and in the early 70s. Many people today still consider Harleys to be associated with this negative group. If you rode a Harley, you were considered almost a criminal. But the situation is actually quite different nowadays. Back in the 60s and 70s, the average age of someone who rode a motorcycle in the United States was probably in their 20s. Today, things have changed. Most motorcycle owners, most Harley owners, tend to be well-educated, usually wealthy men in their mid-40s, not their mid-20s. So basically, the people who used to ride them 20, 30 years ago continue to ride them, or those who are now in their 40s and 50s decided that they wanted to ride them. This is kind of interesting because my neighbor, the one with all the screaming children, he has a new motorcycle, a Harley motorcycle, and he's probably about 48, 47, something like that. Many times, the owners of Harley motorcycles are doctors, dentists, and lawyers. They get together often on the weekends and take very long rides together. The funny thing is they often dress as if they were 20 years old again. They dress in black leather. They often wear chains, which are small circles of metal that are connected to each other. Many people say these men are in a midlife crisis. The midlife crisis is supposed to be that period of time when you start worrying about getting older. Midlife means in the middle of your life. A crisis is an emergency situation. So this is a time when particularly men are supposed to start worrying about how old they are, and so they start doing things that make them feel younger. They buy a nice new sports car, or they buy a motorcycle, or they start a podcast to teach English, something like that. There's a Harley Davidson store not too far from where I live, and it is interesting to see that most of the customers, most of the people who go there and buy them, are not young kids. They're not criminals. They're wealthy men who want to feel younger in many ways. But others say that these men drive these motorcycles just because they enjoy it. And of course, that's part of the reason as well. The second part of our cafe is going to be about famous Americans. Today we're going to talk about the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Reverend is a title of respect we use when referring to a minister, a preacher, a pastor, anyone who leads a church and who speaks to other people about faith and religion. We call that person a reverend. Could be a Catholic priest, could be a Baptist minister. Any of those folks would be called reverend. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is a Baptist minister, but he's really much more famous for being a civil rights leader or a civil rights activist. In the United States, when someone says civil rights, usually they're talking about the ability for everyone to be able to practice their own religion or to vote. to have the same rights as other people in the society, no matter what color their skin is or what group they belong to. An activist is a person who really tries to change the world, to change society, to work hard for that change. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is a civil rights activist, just as the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was a civil rights activist. Both Reverend Jackson and Reverend King fought for the rights of African Americans, for blacks. Another famous civil rights activist would be Susan B. Anthony, who fought for a woman's right to vote more than 100 years ago. Jesse Jackson's life is actually somewhat interesting. He was born in 1941 in the state of South Carolina, which is in the southeastern part of the United States, just south of North Carolina, of course. Back in the 1940s in the United States, especially in the southern part of the U.S., there was a lot of discrimination. Jesse Jackson attended or went to a segregated high school. When we say something is segregated, we mean it is separated by race or skin color. Buses in the United States in many places used to be segregated, with whites sitting in the front and blacks sitting in the back. Still today, we have this expression to sit in the back of the bus or to be in the back of the bus. It means to be discriminated against, to be segregated, to be considered less than a full citizen. Well, Jesse Jackson went to a segregated high school that was only for black students. Later, he entered the University of Illinois, which is in a northern state. Illinois is south of Wisconsin. The University of Illinois was racially integrated at that time. Integration is putting things together. Segregation is pulling them apart. So a racially integrated university would be one where both white students and black students studied together. Jesse Jackson still had problems. He was on the football team, and he had problems in some of his classes at the university. In fact, he had so many problems he left the University of Illinois and went to another college. Jesse Jackson came of age, began to enter his adulthood during the time of the civil rights movement of the 1950s. The civil rights movement was a period when many people began fighting for blacks' civil rights in the 50s and 60s. Many of these people began to work with the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who is, as you probably know, one of the most famous civil rights leaders in U.S. history. Jesse Jackson joined Reverend King on civil rights marches. A march is an event where many people walk together in order to demonstrate their support for a certain thing, in this case, civil rights. Jesse Jackson became the national director of an effort to change people's habits, people's practices, in order to force white-owned businesses to hire more black employees. He created an organization also called Rainbow Push, and in fact, he became famous for a particular phrase, the Rainbow Coalition. The Rainbow Coalition was the idea that people of different races, of different colors, would come together and join together to cause political change, to make things change in society. Jesse Jackson was very active in politics, especially in the 1980s and 90s. He actually ran for president in 1984 and won some states. During the 1990s, he served as a shadow senator for Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. does not have its own senator, its own elected representative in the U.S. Senate, because it is not a state. So he basically acted as if he were a senator, even though he didn't have any right to vote. Today you will still see the Reverend Jesse Jackson on television talking about civil rights, talking about racism, discrimination against people because of the color of their skin. Jesse Jackson is also famous for his speaking style. He would often make rhymes of things, words that would sound alike. For example, he used to say in the 1980s, "Down with dope, up with hope." Dope is an informal word for illegal drugs. To say "down with" means we are against that particular thing. So we are against drugs. "Up with" means to be for something. We are for hope. So "down with dope, up with hope." Jesse Jackson would often use expressions and phrases like that that had a rhyme in them, where two words sounded similar. I'm very poor at rhymes, but now it's time to answer your questions. Our first question comes from K-K-E-I in Japan. K wants to know the difference between because and since. For example, in the sentence, "I can't go to the store because I don't have any money." I can't go to the store since I don't have any money. Because usually answers the question why. Why can't I go to the store? Because I don't have any money. Since can also sometimes be used in the same way as because. I went shopping since I had no school this morning. I didn't have to go to school. She doesn't want to marry him since he's a jerk. He's an idiot. Since has other uses. Since can also be used to describe a period of time after a certain point. Here, it's different than because. It's used differently. It really answers the question when an action began to take place, when something started. If someone asks you, "How long have you listened to ESL podcast?" you could say, "Since July 2005, when it first started." Most of you probably didn't start listening in July of 2005, but that's an example of using since to talk about when something started. "Gas prices have gone up since the beginning of the year." Since the year began. That's when they started to go up. Pavel, P-A-V-E-L, in the Czech Republic, wants to know the definition of the expression yikes, Y-I-K-E-S. Yikes is usually followed by an exclamation point. It's what we call an interjection. It's something you say during a moment of great excitement, of great emotion. Usually it's used to express surprise, sometimes fear, sometimes dislike of something. You could say, "Yikes, this pan is hot." the pan on the stove that you use to cook with. If you touch it accidentally, you might say, yikes. You could also say, yikes, what are you eating? It looks terrible. Yikes is a little old-fashioned. You will still hear older people use it, but it's not quite as common with the younger generation, at least I don't think. Ladan, L-A-D-A-N, from an unknown country, wants to know the meaning of the expression, speaking of which. Speaking of which is an expression we use when you are talking about a certain topic, a certain idea, and suddenly you think of something else that you want to talk about related to that idea. So you may be talking about the beach, and then you say, speaking of which, did you know that it's going to be sunny today and it would be a good day for us to take a walk on the beach? You were talking about the beach in general, or one aspect, one idea related to the beach, and then you thought of something else. Another example would be, Mr. Gopal talked about elephants in class today. Speaking of which, he told me to tell you to see him before class tomorrow. So we're talking about Mr. Gopal and what he said in class, and then I think of something that he told me, and I tell you a related idea, related in this case to Mr. Gopal. It might be possible to say talking of which instead of speaking of which, but I don't think I have ever heard anyone say that. The common expression is speaking of which. If you have a comment or question, you can email us. Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. That's all we have time for on this episode. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again on the English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. This podcast is copyright 2008 by the Center for Educational Development.